Hi there, just a quick message before we get started. As we move forward with the podcast, we would like to give you the opportunity to participate in various challenges that are exciting and affordable. This month, we are offering a 21-day meetings challenge that gives you all the key tools that you need to participate at a higher level in your English meetings, such as agreeing, clarifying, disagreeing, making suggestions, and interrupting. All the essential stuff. So if you're interested in getting to the next level with your English meetings, click the link in the show notes and sign up free to the wait list. The link will only be available until the 27th of May. So make sure you don't miss out. Okay, now let's get on with the show. Welcome to episode 32 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, I will be talking with Alistair, an amazing coach from my team, all about what it means to be working flat out, why it is important to be on track and not off track, why you can't always bank on something or someone, why some candidates bring more to the table than others, and the difference between winging it and doing something off the cuff. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone. Today what we thought we would do is to cover six different business expressions. Now, business expressions can be quite confusing sometimes, and that's why we thought we'd help you out. They sometimes aren't very logical, and so you kind of need to have a little story maybe to connect it to them so that you can get them kind of clear in your mind, right? So as usual, I'm here with Alistair. Hi, Alistair.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, really fine. Thanks. Everything good?
Good. 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 Yes. So we have six business expressions for our listeners today. And we thought we would start with the expression flat out, right?
Yeah. Good expression to work flat out. Or you say, that's right. Working flat out. So you're working a lot, no? Lot of work or very intensively, perhaps, right. Without that's a break. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's actually something that's going to happen to you this week, right? I think are you working flat out this week?
Yeah, kind of well, maybe me and many people, but I'm working flat out this particular week because Wednesday in Spain is what in UK we call a bank holiday.
Yes.
Why it's called a bank holiday, I'm never really sure. But anyway, that's another story for another day. I suppose in the past connected. Banks were on holiday before everybody else, or maybe.
Yeah, there is a story connected to that, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
another good expression we've covered before. Well, we'll come back to that one. Anyway, it's a public holiday, you can also say. On Wednesday, Día de la Hispanidad, so the discovery of America by Columbus, I think, is the reason for it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's one. So instead of five working days, there's only four. So I'm trying to cram in, there's an expression, all... more or less all my classes I would normally have in 5 days into 4 days. Mm-hmm. So I'm working very intensively, very long days with many classes with very few breaks between them. So working flat out this week.
That's right. You're working flat out.
So to cram in is when you're trying to get a large quantity of something into a small space. cramming a lot of furniture into a small room. Mm-hmm. Or in this case, cramming a lot of hours of classes into less days.
That's right. Yeah, there is also a connection there because I think sometimes some people use it with studying, right?
Oh, cramming in terms of to be cramming.
Yes, yes, yeah. Which is kind of interesting. So intensive maybe you have a
studying for an exam.
That's right.
Sort of stay up all night or.
Yeah, there are some people who love that way of kind of studying. They just kind of feel as if they have to have that pressure to really get going. But that was never my methodology.
It was mine. I was good at cramming.
Leaving
everything to the last minute. And
all right, okay.
Drinking lots of coffee, caffeine, and staying up all night, trying to finish an essay that had to be handed in at 9 o'clock the following morning or doing anything.
All right.
Yeah, I think I needed that input, that pressure or the stress to force me to do it.
Yeah.
Because if I had three or 4 days before, I'd be like, oh, tomorrow, I've got plenty of time. And then suddenly, oh, no, the exam's tomorrow. Oh, my God. And I'd very intensively study or whatever it was, finish a piece of work that needed to be handed in the next morning.
Yeah.
So, I was terrible like that.
Yeah. So in those cases, in those situations, you are also working flat out, right? I mean, when you are
by
writing
choice,
an essay.
In that case, I suppose.
I suppose so, yeah. I mean, of course, there's always going to be a deadline, I suppose. Of course, it's true that you could have measured it out a little bit better, right? You could have,
But, so you knew you had a week to do an essay, but I'd leave it till, the day before you had to hand it in.
Yeah.
Or maybe two days before, but I certainly wouldn't start a week before and then do a little bit, a few hours each day. No, I just couldn't do that. I just, oh, no, it's still a week away. I've got plenty of time. And keep saying that. Suddenly you go, oh, no, it's tomorrow.
Sure. Good. So there you go. Flat out. Now, there are a few other expressions connected to flat out, such as snowed under, right? But we discussed before we started recording, there is a slight difference between flat out and snowed under, because flat out is just kind of the intensity of the work that you're doing, whereas snowed under is basically where literally you've got too much work and the kind of your workload is very high and you might not have any time to do anything else. And so therefore you're kind of snowed under. So there's
snow
a slight
is
difference.
Like an avalanche, no? So you're underneath an avalanche of snow. So I suppose the avalanche on top of you is the huge workload. So you may have a big workload. It's more the amount, isn't it? A huge amount of work that you have that you may not be able to do. Depends.
Right.
But maybe you have to work flat out to try to catch up with your workload. Mm-hmm. No?
Or to
clear your backlog. Mm. So a backlog is like accumulated work from the past that needs to be finished. So I suppose if you're snowed under, you have a big workload, you have a backlog, they may be the causes or the reasons why you're working flat out.
Absolutely.
But not necessarily. Absolutely. In my case, I don't have any of those things. It's just simply, I have a week with one less working day in it. So therefore, so I've moved my classes from Wednesday into the other days. So it just means I have more classes in less time. So that's why I'm working flat out this week.
Absolutely.
But I have a rest I have a rest in the middle. This is a good thing.
Well, that's true.
To have a day off on Wednesday to sleep.
Yeah, yeah. But then the question arises is whether it's actually good to have that rest day at all. Because if you're working flat out on the other four days, then I don't know whether
really
it's actually
compensate?
Beneficial. That's right. Absolutely.
No, I think I'd probably rather have a normal week and work slightly less on the other day.
That's right, exactly. Right.
And anyway, a holiday in the middle of the week, one day is pretty useless. There's not a lot you can do.
That's
you can't
true.
Really go anywhere. We might work
that's
for
right.
a walk or do something, but you can't travel to another place really
that's right.
for one day.
Yeah. It's kind of unusual in many ways because I think that in general, most of these bank holidays in Spain are normally either on a Monday or a Tuesday or maybe a Friday or a Thursday. So
they're random because they're on fixed dates, so they move
of course,
in the calendar.
Of course. Yes.
So next year, El Día de la Hispanidad will be Thursday.
All right, probably, yeah.
This is the difference. I've had this conversation many times with clients. It's so different to it. So in the UK, except 25th of December, Christmas Day, 26th of December that we call Boxing Day. There's a whole nother story why it's called Boxing Day. We'll say maybe for a Christmas episode we'll come to that. So 25th, 26th are holidays in UK, public holidays, and obviously the 1st of January. Now, these can't be changed. The 25th, 26th, and the 1st are fixed dates. So they change every year. So this week, I think they're at weekends this year, for example.
Yes.
In such case, 25th is a Sunday. So in UK, automatically, that holiday's passed to the Monday.
Yeah.
And the 26th is a holiday, so that's passed to the Tuesday. So I think this year in UK, you have a four-day long weekend. And all the other holidays of the year, I think, are all Mondays or maybe one Friday at Easter, Good Friday. Mm-hmm. And all the others are Mondays. So bank holiday
Mondays.
Monday is
it's
a common
true.
Phrase, isn't it? A bank
it is.
Holiday Monday.
It is.
So you always get a long weekend and it doesn't interrupt the working week. So it's almost impossible, except Christmas, to have a holiday on a Wednesday or Thursday in UK. Whereas in Spain, as all the holidays are fixed dates, usually religious dates, not all of them, but most of them, then, they change every year. So you can have a holiday on a Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday.
That's one of the reasons, isn't it, why in the UK we don't have this concept of the puente. Because basically...
Except at Christmas. That's the only time.
Yeah, potentially, yes. Yeah. Yes. But otherwise, as you said, most of the bank holidays on the Monday. Yeah, so it's kind of like is done for you, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, so my students are always saying bridge, translating puente. So first of all, I have to say, in English, we don't call it a bridge. It's a long weekend. So the word bridge doesn't mean anything except a bridge to cross the river.
A physical bridge.
And secondly, we don't have that many opportunities except at Christmas to make bridges, inverted commas, so long weekends, because if your holiday is a Monday or a Friday, there is no bridge. Because in Spain, the concept of a bridge is, for example, a holiday on a Tuesday. So you take a Monday of your own holiday and you connect it to the Tuesday. So you connect the weekend with a bridge to the Tuesday and you have a 4-day weekend. But that you make that yourself. You say, okay, I'll take the Monday off and I'll make a puente, as they call it, a long weekend.
But
in UK, you don't need to do that most of the time because, you know, you have a 3-day weekend automatically, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So there is no bridge, but it is a long weekend because it's a
long weekend,
days.
Yes. Yes, yeah. So we do have that concept of long weekend, but we don't have the concept of bridge other than a physical bridge. So that, super interesting. But what I feel now, Alistair, is that we're a bit off track, don't
we
you
are.
Think?
We've
don't
gone
you
feel? Way off track. We're onto cultural differences between public
holidays. Yeah, absolutely. In UK, we kind of gone off a little bit off track there. Yeah. And that's kind of interesting because the second expression that we were wanting to talk about, right, was all about on track and off track, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So when you're distracted from your main purpose or you lose your focus or things aren't going according to plan is you're off track. So in this case, another expression, I went off on a tangent. Mm-hmm. So we started talking about working flat out and then somehow, because of holiday, talking about the difference between bank holidays in UK and Spain. So this is going off on a tangent or going off track.
That's right.
So, Daniel, where does the concept of track come from? What's the metaphor or the analogy?
Yeah, the analogy here is obviously very much connected to the idea of a train because trains move along a track, okay? And you would say the real word would be a train track, right?
Or a railway track.
Or railway track, that's right. And so essentially, you know, that train needs to keep on track to get to its destination, right? On time, yes, absolutely. And so that's where essentially the idea comes from, right? If you want to get to one certain, to your objective, to your destination, then you have to remain on track. But in some situations, whether it might be a meeting or a project, and we've discussed this a little bit before we started recording, it can be in different contexts, right? But imagine that you're in a meeting and that you suddenly start talking about something else like your weekend or some sort of social event, right? And you kind of go off on a tangent, as you mentioned, or you digress, which is another way of expressing that same idea. Then you kind of going off track. You're not really getting to the main goal or destination of that particular meeting, right?
Yeah, you've lost your focus, no? Or you've,
that's right.
Been distracted. That's right. From what you're supposed to be talking about. So somebody in the meeting may say, hey, come on, let's get back on track because we've gone off track. So let's get back to the main focus or the main theme or topic of the meeting. No?
Yeah. And so that particularly, if you are the chair of the meeting, right? If you're the chair of the meeting, then that's kind of a really useful expression to have because you don't want to be impolite, right? You don't want to be, you know, rude in any way. But you kind of basically want to say, let's just move back to the agenda, right? Let's just move back to what we were planning on talking about.
Yeah,
right?
This relates back to a previous episode that we did about meetings, you know, and chairing meetings. Yeah, so the part of the job of chairing the meeting is that, you know, is to keep the meeting on track.
Yeah.
So in other words, keep it about the agenda. And if it goes off track, people start digressing and going off on tangents. At some point, you need to bring it back, get it back on track. You know? Get it
That's right.
focused back onto the agenda, onto the original topics that you were wanted to talk about or discuss.
Yeah, and it's kind of the way you mentioned it there kind of reminds me that it also can be connected to the idea of timing, right? So it can be also, it's not just that it'd be something connected to, yes, we're kind of moving towards the right destination, but are we on track to get there, right? And that can be related to like a construction project, like the Olympics, for example, absolutely. And so they suddenly might announce that they're off track. They're way off track in terms of, you know, the construction projects that need to be done and they need to get back on track.
You know? Yeah, the behind schedule and the building of the new stadiums and things they need to hold, to host is the word, the Olympic Games. I think it happened in Rio. Well, almost every Olympic Games, but I remember in Rio, in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, it was constantly in the news. Oh, they're way off track. They're behind schedule. So it's not going to be ready on time. Half the things they need to build are not finished or not going to be finished on time. Mm-hmm. But somehow in the end, they managed to get it back on track and everything was ready for when the games began, I believe.
Yeah.
I suppose they worked flat out. People working extra hours, the government putting in extra resources, no doubt, more money to get back on track and get it all finished on time.
Yeah, that's a great use of that first expression that we were talking about. Yeah. So you're working flat out where suddenly they realize that they're not going to, they're in danger of missing the deadline, which is also kind of important words there. They suddenly say, well, we're going to have to work flat out. We're going to have to employ more people. We're going to have to think of other solutions to really get this, you know, show on the road, you know. Yeah. So
probably had people working, you know, 20 in shifts, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Weekends non-stop. Absolutely. So that's people working flat out to get this project back on track and to get it finished on time by the deadline, as you say, to meet a deadline.
Fantastic. Yeah, so there you go. That's our second expression of the day, which is on track and off track. So you can you can use both of those, kind of very connected, and can be used related to projects and also meetings. So yeah, very, very interesting one there. Number three is to bank on, right? To bank on. And often we use this in the negative form, right, Alistair?
Yes, to bank on something is to sort of bet on something, in the sense, not bet money, although it could be, but generally it's an expression that means you're making an assumption about something that's going to happen in the future. And perhaps based on that, you take a decision. So very much in business, maybe you're banking on the economy improving or growing or, I don't know, inflation rate reducing or perhaps fuel prices going down in the next 12 months. Very unlikely. And then you make an investment decision based on that assumption. So, you know, you're banking on something happening or not happening. But it's right. It's often used in the negative that you may, to give advice to somebody, maybe not to take a risk. And well, I wouldn't. So, for example, you say, we're going to invest money on the, I'm going to buy a new, could be an individual, it doesn't have to be a business. I'm going to buy a, you know, a new car, a petrol car, maybe not an electric car, based on the fact that I'm banking on the petrol prices coming down in the next 2 years. And somebody said, well, I wouldn't bank on it. I wouldn't bank on petrol. I think they're going to stay high for the foreseeable future or even go up. So perhaps buying a petrol car now is not a wise decision. Sure. So often when you're advising people not to make decisions based on assumptions about the future because you don't think it's a good idea, you might use it. I wouldn't bank on that, or I wouldn't bank on it.
That's right. That's right. I mean, that is definitely a very sort of business context. It could be another type of context as well. Like, for example, you're traveling to Scotland and you say, well, I think in Scotland, I don't think it will rain in the summer. And somebody will say, well, I wouldn't bank on that. Do you know what I mean?
So definitely not.
So, you know, it's quite famous that in Scotland it rains in the summer as well. So it can be used in a business context, a normal context, but absolutely. It's kind of one of those high level expressions to bank on something. And kind of when we were thinking about this podcast, for example, we kind of were thinking about some sort of potential assumptions, right? And you could have said, well, I think we were kind of banking on the idea that our listeners would like to listen to two native speakers speaking at a quite high rate, quite quickly, using different types of That's right. And so, you know, we've got down now to 100,000 downloads. So hopefully the idea that we came up originally and we were banking on a certain sort of need of our listeners, it seems that we could potentially have been right there in that particular case. But we were banking on that particular idea, right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, there's a good example, no? Yeah, so we were banking on the fact that we thought it could be successful because we thought there's a need out there or people would be interested in hearing, as you said, two native speakers speaking quite a natural way in a conversational tone, about on different subjects connected with English in general or particularly business English, or things that'd be That's useful right. to our listeners in their workplace. So we banked on that, and it seems to have worked so far. As you say, more than 100,000 downloads, and people seem to enjoy it, seem to like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, in this case, it was a successful bet. If you want to use the word bet, no? Apuesta.
Yeah.
Apostar. Yeah,
exactly.
Not in financial terms, just in terms of we've got an audience out there that seems to enjoy the program and it's growing.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Good. Fantastic. Great. Yeah. So number four is to bring something to the table, right? Mm. To bring something to the table. Now, this is kind of an interesting one because it's kind of in many ways connected to the whole idea of human resources. That's why we kind of discussed this expression before, again, before we recorded. And probably it's most of the time connected to an individual and what that person can, what kind of specialism that person might have or what sort of added value that person might bring, right, Alistair?
Yeah. Well, it's what they can contribute to your company or your business or your project. No? So if they have something extra or different or useful to contribute that maybe somebody else can't, like experience or particular knowledge or skill. So I think Spanish is aportar, no? What they can contribute. So obviously they're not physically bringing something to the table, like a cup of coffee. It's what they, so you might say in a meeting to somebody, so what have you brought to the table? In this case, it would be, what can you contribute to this meeting?
Yeah.
You know, what thing do you have something different or extra to say or contribute that the other people in the meeting can't? No?
Yes. Yes.
Or as you said, the selection process perhaps in.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Selecting
that's
a candidate
right.
for a job.
Yeah. Yeah, for example, when you are comparing maybe different types of candidates, right? And maybe there are several candidates that you think are quite equal, right? They have each one of them has a different type of skill. And what? Yeah, skill set, absolutely. And then maybe you might want to say, well, I think this one in particular can bring a lot to the table because of this, and this, right? And so you might have a preference for one of them because you can see some real potential in that person, right?
Yeah.
So it's just a great expression to kind of make it clear that this particular person has some sort of extra value that you think is quite important, right?
Yeah. I suppose you can distinguish that they have a particular skill or knowledge or experience in the terms of a selection process where you want somebody to work in your companies. What do they bring to the table that may be different to the other candidates that will be useful to you and your business? Or it could be just like in a meeting, the example I gave when you ask what someone has brought to the table is what ideas or suggestions or original ideas or suggestions that they can contribute to this, to the meeting. So two slightly different things, but the same idea. No, it's what are you able to contribute that is different to the rest or give some added value or extra to the meeting or to the company in general, no, in terms of your abilities and skills.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And from in my particular context, obviously, I collaborate with a lot of different teachers and coaches. And often in many cases, I'm looking at what any particular individual can bring to the table, right? They might have a particular specialism. They might be a teacher that has a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, but they might be able to bring to the table some quite special. They might have a background in legal issues or human resources or whatever that is really, really interesting. Because you can then connect that particular coach with somebody who really needs that particular specialism, right? So in that particular case, you have a situation where one particular coach or teacher can bring a lot to the table because they have a lot of added knowledge, right?
Yeah, specialist knowledge in a particular area, as you say. So, you know, maybe all your teachers I'm sure are all good teachers, experienced teachers, but maybe some of them bring something extra to the table. They can offer something more. I just say that's something right. very particular. Right. So somebody's looking for, you know, particular kind of English, like legal English, medical English, whatever it may be, human resources. And you have a teacher who has some background in those areas. Maybe they worked previously to being a teacher in the law or in, I don't know, in a hospital or in engineering or whatever it may be. And so, yeah. you know, that would be the perfect teacher, coach for that individual, no? Because they have that extra... that extra expertise knowledge that they're bringing to the table.
That they yeah, can absolutely. Contribute. Absolutely. Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, that's right. So there you go. Bring something to the table. A nice expression, certainly used in a very professional sense. I think that I would say is quite a business related expression. That's for sure. I don't think I would use it much with normal. My friends. It is. No. Yeah. Yeah. It's mostly business context there. And then number five is a very interesting one, which is to wing it. Now, this is kind of interesting because it's kind of, I don't know, how would you explain this particular expression, Alistair?
Well, it's slightly strange because wing is the wing of Allah, the wing of a bird or the wing of a plane. So we were talking before we started recording about what possible origin this could have. So we're sort of imagining that, you know, a bird flying, or maybe more a plane we were talking about. So if you've got a normal plane with engines, obviously it's controlled by a pilot and it has a destination, and the pilot is able to direct the plane and know exactly where they're going and etc. because it has a motor. But maybe a glider, not sure how many of our listeners will know that word. I don't know what the Spanish is for glider, but it's basically a plane with no motor, has no engine.
Yeah.
So basically it just uses the air current to glide, so to move through the air. So I think it's much more, I mean, I've never been in a glider, but I imagine it's much more difficult to control and direct it in a particular direction, because maybe it goes where the wind or the air currents take it. No? So it's a bit more loose, a bit more free, a bit more improvised. And this is the word, if somebody is winging it, they are improvising. So, improvisar in Spanish.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe you have to give some kind of, so I think you're unprepared. You have to do something, maybe give a preposition. No, what's the word I'm looking
presentation,
for?
Thank
you.
Presentation.
Daniel. A presentation in your company, but for some reason you haven't been able to prepare for it properly. So you're underprepared or not prepared at all. And therefore you have to give this presentation and you have to wing it. So you have to improvise. Now, I think we were talking about this, that we're going to go to another expression, which also means to improvise, which is the next one. But in this particular, if you're winging it, is that sort of sensation that, A, it's not deliberate. You don't want to be winging it. You would have preferred to have prepared this presentation properly the night before or whenever, but you haven't had time, or for some reason you haven't been able to do it or not enough. So maybe you're feeling a bit nervous, stressed, precisely because you haven't got it all planned and properly prepared, but you have to do it. You've got no choice. So you're improvising, but maybe you don't really want to be improvising and it could be quite stressful. And so maybe you don't do a very good job. Maybe you do, or maybe you don't. It depends. Yeah. So there's that element, that idea of winging it.
Yeah. In many ways, it's more likely that you won't do a great job because you are not very well prepared. It's true. But in many cases, you kind of feel that you have to do it. You have to wing it because you have no options, right? Yeah. And we were talking about in some situations that this is common, and that is in particularly... yeah, frequent, let's say, when a teacher is starting out, right, where they're starting out in their career and they do all the training, but they still feel as if they're winging at least like their first few classes because they just haven't done it before, and they have to get going, they have to build their experience, right? But they certainly have that feeling that they're not well prepared because they're doing it for the first time. And so in that sense, they are winging it, right?
Yeah, I mean, when I started as a teacher, I did a one-month intensive, what they call TEFL course in Madrid, which is why I'm still here 25 years later, which is teaching English as a foreign language, but it doesn't really prepare you for really teaching classes. It's a base, it's useful. But obviously for the first, I don't know, months or whatever period of time it is at the beginning, you are winging it to a certain extent because you're not that confident, you don't have a lot of experience. Sometimes you don't really know what you're talking. You've got to teach grammar that maybe you don't really understand that well yourself at the beginning. Sure, so you're having to read the night before, maybe Or if you're at the beginning in teaching, in my case, and it's very typical, less typical these days, I think, it tends to be more of a formal teaching, like in groups, in an academy or something, in a classroom teaching, TEFL yeah. teaching, as they call it. And maybe you're using a book. It's a bit more like school teaching, though. So all your students have yeah. a book and you're following the book. And you may just be literally, you know, 2 pages ahead of the students in the book. So you're just, you know, so obviously you're trying to create an impression to your students that you know exactly, you know, you're confident, you know exactly what you're doing, but maybe you don't really, and you don't feel confident. So you're to some extent winging it. I often think That's about right. when we were kids at school, how many of our teachers were winging it, but we maybe never realized or never knew, especially new teachers, inexperienced ones that just come out of college. They probably had no idea what they were doing half the time. They were literally probably 2 pages ahead in the book from us. The students, yeah. But usually we never realized or noticed. Sometimes you did. Sometimes with perhaps a young teacher just beginning, you could see they were winging it. They didn't really know what yes. they were doing. But a lot of yeah, the time, sure. we probably had no idea. We didn't even notice that the teacher was terrified. Sure. The teacher's probably terrified. But you know,
absolutely, yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, maybe. Or even like the whole idea of a substitute teacher as well.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like, yeah. Many substitute yeah. teachers probably have to wing their classes or have to wing it because they don't really know what the students have done before and they're not going to continue with the class, or they have to think of a class sort of like that kind of fills a gap, you know. They have to improvise. They have to be more spontaneous, right? And sometimes that can work. It can really work very well. But, you know, other times it can.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. But so I suppose that takes us to the next one, no? Which is another form of improvisation.
Yes, that's right. Number 6, which is off the cuff, right? And I suppose in that particular case, it's like off the cuff, which is kind of similar to the previous expression. But let's kind of go into the words that are actually there, because that's kind of a difficult word to know, right? The whole idea of a cuff, right?
Yes. So, well, first is off, O-double-F, because often people can't distinguish of with one F and off. So the sound is different with 2 F. So it's off, O-double-F, the cuff, C-U-double-F. So the cuff,
not having the
problems with my words today. The cuff is the end part of your sleeve. So the sleeve That's of your right. shirt is la manga, no, I think it's called. So I think in Spanish is el puño, de la manga.
That's
no?
right.
So it's the end of the sleeve of your shirt. So off the cuff. Now, we don't know. We discussed this before, what the origin might be, but we don't know. So we're not quite sure why this expression means improvise, but it does. So so what would you say is the difference between winging it, as we just discussed? Perhaps when you're a teacher just beginning, you're often winging it. And when you can do things off the cuff, like teaching a class or giving a presentation. For example.
That's right. Yes. So as we were saying before, winging it is where it is less prepared. You kind of feel a little bit nervous, a bit worried, whereas off the cuff is almost a little bit the opposite side. It's when you've got a lot of experience, you've kind of done it many, many times, and you can really react to different situations that might arise just naturally, right?
Yeah,
and
spontaneously.
Spontaneously, yeah. So you've kind of done this type of class many, many times, or whatever it might be. It might be a presentation as well, right? It might be a presentation to all your employees, for example. And you've kind of done it so many times that for you, literally, you can do it off the cuff. You know, like
you don't need to plan, prepare. You know it so well, or you have that knowledge, you have the experience. As you say, you probably talked about the subject many times before, and you feel very confident.
That's
so you don't need to prepare for it, or very little or nothing, and you can just do it spontaneously and improvise. And maybe it's better that way, because sometimes it can be, you can tell when people are just sort of memorized whole sentences and just repeating them. Sounds very, I don't know, not very spontaneous. Whereas if you can do it off the cuff, it sounds much more natural, much more spontaneous.
Yeah.
So it probably has a better, more effective, in fact.
Yeah, it actually links with an objective that lots of our clients actually have, which is to be able to kind of produce a presentation off the cuff, or at least in a situation where they don't have to kind of really study and prepare and for hours and hours.
Whole sentences for that they repeat.
Yeah, that is an objective that a lot of my clients have, is the idea that I don't want to, go to a meeting and have to prepare hours in advance. I'd like to be able to do it off the cuff. I would like to be able to improvise a little bit more, right?
Reactive, no? You react to the situation and you're able to speak.
Absolutely.
Or, it's like my classes or coaching as well. Your clients, so I have something prepared that I want to do in the class. But then at the beginning of the class, the client will ask you a question and say, oh, Ali, what's the difference between present simple and present perfect? Or how do I use this? Or why does it? So they ask you a question at the beginning, and then obviously you go, so I suppose you go off on a tangent, you know, to go back to the, so you, yes. So I can improvise and I can go, oh, okay. And I do a completely different class than the one I planned, answering the student's question off the cuff. Because I probably talked about that subject or answered that question hundreds of times before. And obviously I have 25 years experience of teaching. And so there's very little of that is new that you have to answer or deal with. So I go, okay, you want to talk about phrasal verbs? Okay, phrasal verbs. And I can just do a whole class on phrasal verbs or whatever particular phrasal verb they want to know about, spontaneously improvising. So, you know, you get to a stage. So when I started teaching 25 years ago, very often I have to admit in that first year or so, I was often winging it in class. But now I don't need to wing it. I can either, I'm prepared and I do the class I've prepared, of course.
Yeah.
Or I can just do a class off the cuff if necessary.
Off the cuff. Yeah, no problem. Adapting to whatever
the client wants in that moment. No?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fantastic. So there you go. There is a very big difference, although they, you know, they're kind of related in the fact that you are improvising in both of them, right? There is a substantial difference. Yes, in the fact that when you're winging it, you're kind of not prepared, you kind of don't have much experience, whereas when something is off the cuff, it's much more related to the idea that you've got a lot of experience and you can adapt.
You're confident, you know.
And,
absolutely. You're adapting to a situation and you can give a presentation. So maybe your boss suddenly says to you in the morning, oh, the guy who was going to give this presentation is off work sick. He can't come in today. Can you do it? And you say, yeah, yes, I can. So you had no warning, no prior warning. You haven't prepared anything, but your boss knows that you're good at this particular subject. You have knowledge or you've done it before or, well, you have a lot of experience. So you say, oh, yeah, no problem. And you can just walk in into a room. There's 20 people. Give the presentation on whatever topic it is. With no preparation at all. And you're not worried about it because you know you can do it. Yeah. And you give a good presentation. See, the winging it, maybe it's not very good. It probably isn't.
Yeah.
Or not as good as it could be or should be. But if you're able to do things off the cuff, then there's no that presentation could be, you know, excellent. Just as good or maybe even better than if you had prepared it in advance.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. Great. So there you go. The six different business expressions of today. Now, hopefully they were new for our audience. Let's just quickly go through them to give a little bit of a summary. The first one was flat out. So basically when you are working flat out is kind of when you are got a lot of work and you just really need to get going and you don't have any time for anything else and you just need to get through that work. And that Alistair, this week in particular, will be working flat out because of the day less that you have, right? Yeah.
You're
missing one particular day. Yeah, that's right, exactly. So yeah, so that's working flat out. Then you can be on track. The second one was on track and off track, which is kind of very much related to can be a meeting or a project. In a meeting, it might be where you digress or you go on a tangent. And if it's a project, it might be related to timing, right? So the project might be off track. And so you have to work flat out to get it going
to get it ready on time.
That's right, exactly. Then number three was to bank on something, which we often use in the negative form and kind of where you are betting on something. And in many cases, you kind of give advice to someone, right? I wouldn't bank on that, you might say. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting expression to kind of get that meaning across that you might say, well, I wouldn't bank on that. I'm not sure that would be a good bet, let's say. So it's a useful one as well. Number four is to bring something to the table, which is kind of very much related to the idea of human resources, different candidates. And it can be, you know, what an individual might bring to your organization or even to a particular meeting or presentation or whatever it might be, right? They bring something special, a specialism of some kind. So that's kind of very useful if you want to emphasize what that special ability they bring to that particular content. Number five was to wing it, which is a super interesting expression. We went into that a little bit in terms of the context of what the the wing is, you know, related to a bird or a plane, and is kind of obviously related to improvisation, but kind of a little bit negative because you're not very well prepared. And then number six was when you can do something off the cuff, which is a little bit related to the idea of winging it because you are improvising as well, but you have a huge amount of experience, so you feel much more comfortable. So there you go, Alistair. I think those were the six expressions. As usual, it was amazing to speak with you today, and I guess we'll speak again next week, right?
Yeah, I'll see you next week. Yeah, thanks. A pleasure as always.
Absolutely. Speak soon. Cheers. See you then. Bye. Cheers. See you then. Bye-bye.